The Shira is on Parshas Vayechi, Tov Shin Ayin. This Parsha has some fantastic revelations in the Sforum of Rabbi Nachman and his student from Nosenzal. We'll try to bring out some of them. It begins with the words, Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shana. Yaakov Avinu lived in Egypt 17 years, and his entire life was 147 years. And we find that when Yaakov Avinu describes his life to Paroi, he says his life was bitter, difficult, which we know in reality it was. He went through the Torah, it gives us some of the incredible suffering that Yaakov Avinu went through with his brother Esav, with Lavan, with Yosef HaTzadik, all the difficulties. And the Zohar HaKadosh especially tells us that the only peaceful, good part of Yaakov Avinu's life was the final 17 years in Egypt. Rav Nosenzal remarks about this in Likutei Halachos, Hilchos Chodo, Halacha Vov, which is a major chapter in Likutei Halachos, which deals with the topic of Simcha. Rav Nosenzal says, this is incredible. Yaakov Avinu lived in Eretz Yisrael for 130 years, and those years were bad, difficult, suffering, lack of peace, lack of rest. And the years in Egypt are described as wonderful, mamash wonderful. The Zohar HaKadosh really emphasizes this. How could it be? And Rav Nosenzal says that from here we have a very important message and lesson for us that Rabbeinu Zal teaches us and many of the Sforum HaKadoshim teach us. That true joy, true happiness is only when we're able to take the unhappiness and include it in the happiness and nullify it by the happiness and raise it up. When you have just happiness alone, just good alone, that's not shlemus. The real shlemus of simcha, Rabbeinu Zal will give a short encapsulation of a chapter in the Kutiran that this is based on. Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk, Sosoim v'simcha yasigu v'nosu yogoyim v'anocha. They will achieve joy and happiness, and the unhappiness and the sadness and heaviness will run away. Rabbeinu Zal says that many times when a Jew is trying to achieve happiness, then the unhappy issues in their lives, the struggles, the difficulties, try to sneak away because the person's trying to be happy. So in order to be happy, they have to forget or ignore the negative things in their life. But Rabbeinu Zal tells us, and Rav Nosenzal especially emphasizes this over there in Hilchos Seido and in other places, that in order to achieve true happiness and total happiness, when you see that unhappiness trying to run away, trying to escape, you've got to grab it by the collar and drag it back and bring it into the happiness and nullify it over there, make it part of the happiness. And this manifests itself in many different ways. One example that Rabbeinu Zal gives, he says that sometimes people are having a celebration. They're very happy, they're singing and they're dancing, but there's one person or a couple of people that aren't into it. They're not so happy. For whatever reasons, they're not singing and clapping and especially not dancing. Sometimes, and this is very often, sometimes one of the people who's really very happy and excited is troubled and bothered by the fact that that person is standing there with a glum face on, or even with a happy face, but they're not really into it, they're not really joining the fun. And then they'll try to grab that person to pull them in the circle, and at first the person's going to fight it. No, leave me alone. But if the person who's really happy is strong enough sometimes, either emotionally, socially, and even physically sometimes, to grab this other person and force them into the circle, sometimes at first this person's still going to be struggling, but once they get in and they get hooked on, they start really bubbling and dancing and it raises the joy of the entire group. in a major, major way. And Rabbi Nizal tells us this is the concept of this sosoin v'simcho yasigu v'nosu yogoin v'anocho. That when we're trying to achieve sosoin v'simcho, which is a certain shlemos of happiness, and the yogoin v'anocho tries to run away, if we don't let it run away, if we force it into the simcha, you're not going to stand on the sidelines. We're going to bring you in. You're going to celebrate with us. This leads to a shleimus hasimcha. And this applies also to a person's own personal struggles and difficulties and the problems in their life. There's one level of happiness, of finding some good things to be happy about, and ignoring or avoiding thinking about the bad things or the unhappy things in my life. That's a person can achieve a certain level of simcha. But that simcha, that happiness, can't compare to the shleimus ha-simcha that a person feels when they're able to take those negative items, those things which at first glance seem to be bad, negative, difficult, and the person's able to find the good in them, and the person's able to turn it around, to make those into celebrations, to realize could be much worse, or even this thing, it's nonsense, it's all for my good. When a person's able to do that, to bring the yoga and vanocha into the simcha, that's real shleimus ha-simcha. And Rav Nosson Zal gives us a variety of examples of this in Yiddishkeit that are extremely important. For example, we have the concept of male and female, men and women. The main obligation for the study of Torah is on the man. And we know that the Torah is simcha. Pikudei Hashem Yeshorin Mesamchei Lev. We're told that the Torah is joy, it brings happiness to a person. And yet, the Gemara makes a statement, whereas the woman, the Zohar HaKodesh tells us, the Sifrei Kabbalah tells us, is more naturally drawn to sadness, unhappiness, depression. This is why when the snake, the Nachash, the original snake, was looking whom to approach, to try to bring down Adam and Chava, he approached Chava. He didn't go to Adam because he knew that Chava was more vulnerable to the wiles and to the nature of the Nachash in this case. And unfortunately, he succeeded. And yet, the Gemara tells us, Hashori b'loi isha, shori b'loi simcha, that a man who is living without a woman, without a wife, is without joy, without happiness. Rav Nosson Zal says, what do you mean? He's learning Torah, he's doing mitzvahs, he's burning rubber, he's turning those pages and cranking out Gemara after Gemara or whatever. How could you tell me he's without simcha? Rav Nosson Zal says it means he's without this shleimus ha-simcha. It's only when a man is able to take the woman, the isha, who is more naturally drawn towards Atzvus, towards Morash Chayra, and he's able to bring her into the circle, he's able to elevate her and make her part of his Simcha, that's when he achieves this Shleimus HaSimcha, this Sosayim V'Simcha Yasigu V'Nosu Yogayim V'Anocha. Another example, we know that the Beis HaMikdash, we've mentioned many times, was a center of joy, happiness. There are many psukim in the Torah where it emphasizes U'semachtem b'chol nishlach yedchem. You will rejoice with all these sacrifices and offerings that you bring to the Beis HaMikdash. U'semachtem b'beis tefilosi O'yloiseyem v'zevchem l'rotzna mizbechi. Many psukim like this. And each one of the korbonos, the Torah emphasizes, had to be brought with simcha. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. Out of all the korbanos, the most important one, the one that reaches up to the highest place possible, is the ketores, the offering of the 11 spices. And what made the ketores so special, what gives it its specialness, is the fact that it is 11 spices. 10 of them have a good smell to them, sweet smell, a delicious aroma, corresponding to the Asora Mina Negina, the 10 types of song which represent holiness. Alei Osor va'alei Novel, alei Higoyim Bechinor, ki simachtani Hashem befalecha. The 10 levels of joy and happiness. The 11th one, the Chelbana, is something that has a terrible smell to it, a foul odor to it. And yet, without the Chelbana, the Ktoiris is not Ktoiris. It's incomplete. The Torah tells us, Shemen uKtoiris yesamach leiv, that Ktoiris is Simcha. What kind of Simcha? It's Shlemus HaSimcha. Why? Because it includes in it the Ktoiris. These are just some of the examples. And this is why Nodav and Avihu, for example, who were very great tzaddikim, the Torah says about them, Bikroivai Ekodesh, Bikorvosam Lefnei Hashem Vayamusu, that they wanted to come very close to Hashem. But Rav Moshe Zal says they were trying to bring Ktoiris. They were trying to reach the highest level of Simcha, and they weren't married. That was a pigam. A person cannot achieve Shleimus HaSimcha. A person cannot have a kesher with the Ktoiris, with true Simcha, unless that person knows that true Simcha is by including the woman in the Simcha, by including Lahavdil, the Chelbana in the Simcha, by including the Yoga in Vanacha. And this is the secret that Yaakov Avinu is referring to here. Of course, Yaakov Avinu had Simcha in Eretz Yisrael, which is the place of Kiddusha. But the Shleimus HaSimcha, he achieved only after going down to Mitzrayim, by having the ability to go down, the Yerida, to go into Mitzrayim, the place of Tumah, and be able to extract from there the sparks of Kiddusha, the sparks of holiness, that could be rescued and could be elevated. That's the real Shleimus HaSimcha. And this ties in beautifully with what we see a little bit later. We know that the highlight, one of the main highlights, or the highlight of this parsha is the Birchos Yaakov, the blessings that Yaakov Avinu gives to all of his sons. And we find the Torah introduces this by saying that Yaakov Avinu summoned his children and he said to them, Hey Asfu, gather, all of you gather around, Va'agidu lechem es ha'sheik re'eschem ba'achris hayomim, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you in the final days. The Gemara tells us that Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to them the coming of Moshiach and everything related to that. And the Gemara says that why didn't he? Because the Shekhinah left him. The spirit of Hashem suddenly left him. So the Gemara says he suspected that maybe this implies that his children are lacking. They're defective in their faith in Hashem, in their faith in Tzaddikim, in their Yiddishkeit. So the Gemara says they all immediately cried out, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And they said, Our Father, just like in your heart there's only one Hashem, so too our faith is only in the one Hashem, in Hashem Echad. So Yaakov Avinu saw that there was nothing impure in them. They were all righteous, they were all good, and yet, the spirit of Hashem left. And he was not able to reveal to them the secret of the coming of Moshiach. So what was missing? What was lacking? The next pasuk, Yaakov Avinu says to his sons, right after he just said, Hey Asfu, gather around, Va'agidu lechem, and I will tell you what's going to happen in the future. The next pasuk, He kovtzu, gather around, Vishimu, and listen, Bnei Yaakov, sons of Yaakov, Vishimu, and listen, El Yisrael Avichem, to your father Yisrael. A number of questions. In the previous pasuk, he said, Hey Osfu, gather. In the next pasuk, he says, He kovtsu, gather, but a different word. Then, in this second pasuk, he refers to them first as Bnei Yaakov, And then he refers to them, he says, and listen to your father, Yisroel. What's this all about? Rav Moshe Zal explains, in Likutei Halachos, Eben Ezer, Hilchos Piri Yevarivya, Vehilchos Ishus, Halacha Hei, Rav Moshe Zal says that Yaakov Avinu saw that there were tzaddikim here, there was an assemblage of tzaddikim. He and his sons were the tzaddikim of the world, the tzaddikim of the generation at the time. And they were referred to as Mito Shlema, a complete bed, all holy, all good. Avram Avinu had a Ishmael, Yitzchak Avinu had an Esav, Yaakov Avinu, they were all home runs, they were all superstars. So Yaakov Avinu figured, this is it. We're ready to roll, we're ready to go into the coming of Moshiach, we have everything. When he saw that the spirit of Hashem left him, despite the fact that his sons showed that their devotion and their faith in Hashem was b'shleimus, Yaakov Avinu learned something brand new. He learned that when you have a gathering of tzaddikim together, that's not enough to bring Moshiach. That's not enough to reveal the end. It's only if you're able to take those who are far away, those who are far from Hashem, those who are on a very low level, spiritually, and you're able to bring them close, you're able to include them, that's when Moshiach will come. And this is the secret. At first, in the previous pasuk, he used the word he'osfu. An asifa is like a committee meeting. When Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to gather 70 leaders of Klal Yisrael, he said, Esfoli Shivimish, gather to me 70 leaders. Leich v'yosafto ezikne Yisrael, gather the elders of the Jewish people. Esfoli Shivimish v'zikne Yisrael, gather to me 70 people from the elders. All similar, all Tamidei Chachamim, Tzadikim, righteous people. That's an asifa. That's a meeting where they're all the same. They're all like, all Tzadikim. When Yaakov Avinu saw that that didn't work, he said, he kovtzu, a kibbutz. A kibbutz refers to a gathering of those who are coming from distant places. As the pasuk says, im yiyeh nidachacho b'kzeh ha-shamayim, if those who have fallen away from you, if those who have been rejected and moved to distant, are very distant from Hashem, if there'll be b'kzeh ha-shamayim at the other end of the world, mishom yikavetzcha Hashem ulekecha, Hashem will gather you in from there. This kibbutz goyos, this gathering in of the exiles, mekabetz nidche Yisrael, oid akabetz olav l'nigbotzo. The term kibbutz is used to refer specifically to those who are far, those who have fallen into the sitrachra, those who are part of the yogoin v'anocha, those who are part of the Chelbana, when they're brought in, that's when we achieve Shleimus HaSimcha. When the Pasuk says, Ki besimcha seitzeyun, what's the secret? How will you exit from Golus teitzeyun? You will leave Golus. How? Besimcha, with which? With simcha. Which simcha? The simcha that will be generated through this kibbutz nidochim, through this ingathering of those specifically who are very far, who are in a low madrega, they're part of the yogoin vanocha, of the sadness and depression. They've fallen into the sitrachra, they've fallen into sin. We know the Torah tells us, edag mechatosi, I worry from my sins. So people who are lacking in simcha, usually it's a reflection of chet avon pesha. And when we're able to take those people and include them, bring them into the circle, when we're able to accomplish this hikovtzu, and specifically those people who at first are b'nei Yaakov. Yaakov is miloshin ekev. The word ekev means the heel of the foot. The people who are all the way on bottom. When we first gather them in, they're b'nei Yaakov. They're on a very low level. But as we're makar of them, once we bring them close, and we make them part of this kibbutz of kedusha, then it says, Vishimu el Yisroel Avichem. We elevate them to the level of Yisroel. The name Yisroel was given to Yaakov Avinu when he had defeated the angel of Esav, when he had defeated his evil inclination. So it's these people who start out as Bnei Yaakov, and we bring them into the kibbutz of Kiddusha, and we elevate them, and we make them turn them into Oivdei Hashem, where they can be referred to as part of Yisroel Avichem. They're the ones who will bring about the true coming of Moshiach. And this is why the Medrash and the Zohar HaKadosh tell us that even though the spirit of Hashem left Yaakov Avinu, and he wasn't able to reveal openly the secret of the coming of Moshiach, the fact that he continued to speak, the whole speech that he gave afterwards, these words that we mentioned here, and the subsequent brachas, obviously he hid in these words the secret of the coming of Moshiach. And this lesson that we just gave, the incredible importance of the chelbana, of the women, lahavdil, the women chas v'shalom, we're not equating them in any way with chelbana, but we're saying that women have a tendency, they're more vulnerable, they represent more the left side. Between Zohar and Akeva, Zohar is referred to as the right side, the woman is referred to as the left side. By including them in the Kiddusha, elevating the woman to be Eishes Chayil Ateres Baal, the crown on her husband's head, this is what will certainly help bring about the coming of Moshiach. And important to note, the Arizal says that just as when it came to Yitzias Mitzrayim, when the Jews were in Egypt, the Gemara, the Medrash tells us stories of the Noshim Tzidkonios, the women, the very righteous women, in whose merit the Yidden was zeicha to leave Egypt, so too the Arizal says, the Arizal who lived in the 1500s, he says the women of today, of these final generations, are Gilgulim, they are reincarnation of those women, of those Noshim Tzidkonios. And this is why we find today many women who take a leading role, in a sense, in inspiring and motivating their husbands to do mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, to go to the tzaddik, all kinds of positive things. Because when we're able to include them in the Kiddusha, they can rise to this level of ateres baal. An additional point tied into this again, we said that in Yaakov Avinu's words, even though he wasn't able to reveal openly the way he thought he would be able to, the coming of Moshiach, in the words that he spoke were hidden the advice that Klal Yisrael would need to be able to achieve that goal. Yaakov Avinu begins, Reuven, Bechayriyata, Reuven, you are my firstborn. Koichi v'reishisayim, you were my first seed. Yeser seis v'yeserotz. You were supposed to be the greatest. You were supposed to have kahuna, malchus, everything. Why did you lose out on it? Pachas. The next word is pachas, which is like the word chipazon, because you acted in haste. Haste makes waste. We know that one of the most important lessons in the Torah, and especially in the Sforum of the Tzaddik, in Rabbeinu Zal's Sforum, Rabbeinu Zal's Sforum is, Habo letaher oimrim loy hamtein, the Gemara says, that when a person wants to become pure, when a person wants to do tshuva, when the person is first starting, the first move towards Hashem has to be a jump. When a person realizes that they're in the jaws of the Sitra Achra, they're in the lion's jaws, or the shark's jaws, or the dog's jaws, then we don't say, ease your way out. We say, jump, yank your hand out, yank your foot out as quick as you can. Once a person gets out of the Sitra Achra, within the framework of the Kiddusha, a person has to move very slowly and cautiously and carefully. That, just like we mentioned many times, when the Jews left Egypt, they left Bechipazon. But immediately afterwards, they started a counting, a Sfira Soimer, which is a very methodical, slow, sequential count. Day one, day two, day three. It's a slow process climbing to get to the top. And this is where Yaakov Avinu reprimanded Reuven. Reuven wasn't escaping from the Sitra Achron anyway. Reuven acted quickly, pachas, in making a decision without thinking it through carefully enough, the decision to move his mother's bed, to dare intervene in any way with the decision of Yaakov Avinu. And the Gemara tells us on one hand that anyone who says that Reuven sinned is making a mistake. Reuven was a tremendous Talmud Chacham tzaddik. He was a tzaddik. But on his level, Yaakov Avinu reprimanded him. The mistake was pachas, too quickly. We know that in Pirkei Avos, which is the most selected statements of the leaders of the Gemara, the leaders of the Talmud, our rabbis, and Pirkei Avos is their most outstanding remarks. The first mission in Pirkei Avos, the first statement of advice is, Hevi Mesunim Badin, be very slow and cautious when it comes to judgment. Any kind of judgment, any kind of decision making, slow carefully in most cases. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Yutes, about the Jews when they left Egypt, V'loichiku latzose, miyaru, they acted in haste too quickly. They didn't wait for the advice. And Rav Nosson Zal tells us that this is especially when it comes to tzaddikim, especially when it comes to religious people or people who are trying to be extra religious tzaddikim, this is the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara knows that to offer them sins, to offer them crime, bad things, unkosher food, very hard sell. But to get behind them, for the Yetzer Hara to get behind them and say, you want to come close to Hashem? Sure, I'll help you. And the Yetzer Hara gives a shove, he pushes. Come, let's go faster, more quickly. Knowing that if the person moves quickly, they're more apt to make mistakes, Chas V'Shalom, and in some cases terrible mistakes, in judgment, especially when it comes to judging others, Chas V'Shalom, things that lead to machlokes, lo aleinu, where people get into arguments, disagreements, fights, because they judged too quickly. They didn't think it through and look to find a nekuda toiva, look to judge, maybe I can find a zechus in the other person. Maybe I'm misjudging the other person. Maybe I'm not seeing the entire picture clearly. This is what Yaakov Avinu reprimanded Reuven about. And certainly when he came to the next ones, Shimon and Levi, brothers, Shimon and Levi, Achim. They were brothers. What could be better? We know that one of the things that the Torah praises more than anything else is Achdus. And these two were like Siamese twins, Shimon and Levi. They were always together. But Yaakov Avinu says there was a minor mistake. Klei chamos mecheroseim. Chamos, we know, refers to stealing. Stealing means when a person takes something before the right time. The Gemara tells us that in most cases where a person tries to take something that's not theirs, it's not theirs right now. Had they waited the proper amount of time, it's very likely that they would have received the same item legally. The Gemara gives stories about rabbis who were tested with women, where the woman at one point was an unkosher item to them, illegal, would have been the worst sin in the world. And because the rabbi passed the test, he waited, the same item presented itself to him in a perfectly kosher manner. This term chamos, stealing, where the isur of stealing is doichek es hashor, because I feel I need it now. What do you mean? The Torah tells us that Hashem gives a person everything they need. If this isn't yours right now, or if you can't get it legally, maybe now's not the time. Maybe if you wait a little, maybe it'll be the right time and you'll get it. The person's unwillingness to wait, that jumping, that rashness, that brazenness in making the decision, this is what leads to terrible mistakes. In the case of Shimon and Levi, where Yaakov Avinu used this wording, besoida maltovay nafshi, bekohol maltecha kavoidi. I don't want to be included in their plans. Leave me out of their plans. And I don't want my honor to be mentioned at their assemblage. The case of Shimon and Levi with Yosef HaTzadik, they were the ones who led, who were the leaders in the attack on Yosef HaTzadik. And Korach, who also came from Levi in his attack against Moshe Rabbeinu, these were all examples of people who were doichik es hashor. The Gemara tells us Korach had ruach hakodesh. She was able to see that greatness was destined to come from him. True, of course, greatness was destined to come from him, but he wasn't willing to wait. He wanted it now, immediately. And when it looked to him as if Moshe Rabbeinu had taken certain greatness that could have been given to Korach and gave it to somebody else, Korach jumped and forfeited everything, lost everything, went down in history in such shame and embarrassment because of this doichek es hashor. Rav Nosson Zal says the fact that this appears here when Yaakov Avinu was about to reveal the coming of Moshiach and the advice, and instead he gives us this advice. This is the advice that the generation before the coming of the Moshiach is going to need most. This knowledge of habo letahir oimrim loyhamte, this ability to wait and not jump, not try to take things before the right time, and not try to force an issue, chas v'shalom, especially when it comes to judging others, this heavy mesunim badin, that when it comes, Rav Nosson Zal writes clearly that if we look throughout history, and he's talking about in his generations and shortly before that, unfortunately, the major strife among leaders, among tzaddikim in many cases, was for this reason, that a person felt that a certain issue was so important that for this, they were going to fight, they were ready to insult somebody else and attack somebody else and persecute somebody else, another Talmud Chacham, another tzaddik, to the end, and put everything they had acquired, all their Torah and mitzvahs, in jeopardy, chas v'shalom, because of this rash decision, chas v'shalom, in many cases, a decision that wasn't thought out carefully enough, in a misjudgment, chas v'shalom, in misjudging another person. Hashem should help, we should be zeche to appreciate the revelation of the advice that's given here, that Yaakov Avinu, and especially through the Sforim of Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal, gives us the guidance, the advice that we need for us to learn from the examples of these great tzaddikim. We know that on their level, these mistakes are not as simple as they appear. It's not as if Yaakov Avinu made this mistake and Reuven. The Gemara says clearly, anyone who says Reuven sinned is mistaken. So it's not as simple as it appears in terms of them. On their level, there was some type of a minor error, and the Gemara tells us that Hashem is medakdek. When it comes to tzaddikim, Hashem is very particular, and even the most minor infraction could be punished very severely. But the advice for us, the guidance for us to learn from this, and on our level, to have the proper caution, carefulness, when it comes to serving Hashem, Bein Odom Lamokoyim, and the Bein Odom Chaveiroi. It's only when it comes to the fourth son, Yehuda, this is where we find, when it came to Reuven, Yaakov Avinu spoke negatively, Shimon and Levi negatively. When it comes to Yehuda, Yehuda, ato yoiducho achecho. Yehuda, you are the praise of your brothers. And yodcho bo'oref oivecho, you are the one who's going to succeed against your enemies. Yishtachavu lecho b'nei avicho. All of your brothers, all the sons of your father will all bow to you. They will all be subservient to you. Gur Aryeh Yehuda, you are the lion. Miteref b'ni olisa. You were the one who avoided. You did not participate in tearing up my son. Yehuda was the one who spoke up and said, Ma betza, what profit are we going to have in killing him? They wanted to kill him right on the spot. Yehuda said, well, What are we going to gain from that? Let's sell him. He was the one who saved Yosef HaTzadik in a sense at that time. And in fact, the Mefarshim bring that these words, Miteref Bini Olisa, the fact that Yehuda refrained from the sinna and kinna that Shimon and Levi had, that the other brothers had on the same level, the first letters of Miteref Bini Olisa make up the first letters of the name of Moshiach, Menachem Ben Amiel, who is destined to come from Yehuda. We know that from Yehuda comes Dovra Melech, and from Dovra Melech will come Moshiach, who the Gemara tells us his name is Menachem Ben Amiel, of which the first letters are the same as Miteref Bini Olisa. It's through this act specifically of not participating in Machlokes, not attacking another Jew, not speaking against another Jew, this is the act through which a person is zoche to the praise that Yehuda was zoche to. And we know that the highlight of Yehuda is Dovra Melech. From Yehuda comes Dovra Melech, who is referred to as the Moshiach Hashem. The greatness of Dovra Melech, the treasure, the most important treasure that Dovra HaMelech left for Klal Yisrael is the Sefer Tehillim. This is our weapon. This is our sword. When we want something desperately, whether it's Ruchnius or Gashmius, anything a Jew needs, this is how we get it. Through Tefillah. Through Tefillah with tremendous patience. This is the Charbi Bekashti, and it's this patience that Yehuda showed, that Dovra HaMelech showed. Dovra HaMelech, who went through the most difficult trials and tribulations of just about any tzaddik, and had the patience to be able to persist in tefillah, and more tefillah. This is what we find Yaakov Avinu praising here. The first three sons he reprimanded for their harshness, for taking the law into their own hands, for trying to force an issue before the right time. Yehuda is the one who is praised in the fact that from him will come Dovra HaMelech, who is the one who really taught Klal Yisrael the true Eitzah that'll rescue us from all of our suffering and from Golus, which is the patience and persistence in Tefillah, and the Simcha, the total Simcha that comes about when we're able to bring about this Kibbutz Nidochim.